You could have taken the higher.
Okay. So let's try to recap what we had yesterday. We went through the Gemara on Daf Zayin and Beis and Megillah, where we had the statement of Rava, Mechayev Inish Lebsumei Bepuraya Adelo Yalda Ben Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. Then we had the story of Rava and Rav Zeira. Rava and Rav Zeira who got together for this wild Sudas Purim, and things apparently got out of hand. Kam Rava and Shachtei Rav Zeira. And the following year, Lashana Amarlei Nase Mar V'Navid Sudas Purim B'Hali Adali. Amarlei No Lo B'Chol Shaita V'Shaita Mirachesh Nisa. Not every year am I going to be able to be zocha to a miracle. I'm not having my suda with you again. Okay, I was lucky last year. I got by without getting mortally wounded, but I'm not having my suda with you again. So we saw in the wake of these two statements, the statement of Rava, the rule of Rava, and then the story of Rava and Rav Zeira, Lalu Rishonim tried to really understand what the bottom line is. Do we have this rule of Rava? Do we not have this rule of Rava? What was the purpose of the juxtaposition of the two statements, the Rava statement and then the story? Okay? Let's leave that. Okay, I'm just going to let it go. So we saw the difference in the number of the Rishonim. Rashi understood that when the Gemara says libsume, it meant lishtaker. Again, what does the Gemara mean when it says libsume? Rashi says lishtaker b'yayin. Sounds like it means to really get drunk. On the other hand, we saw Tosos and the Ran and the Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Archos Chaim and Mukhe Yosef, really all the other Rishonim seem to understand that in some way the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira came to limit the rule of Rava. No, we don't act out in the way that Rava said, right? We get fully drunk until the point where you don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. That's too much. So we saw the Ran and the Archos Chaim, and again the Rabbeinu Ephraim and Mukhe Yosef, all on some level limit the amount of drinking that's involved. So let's start with the Rambam. Hey, what was the position of the Rambam? Chaim, you want to recap the Rambam?
Well, you said that he said that
two things that were unique to the Rambam, remember?
He said that the way that we fulfill our halakhic obligation in Suda is by eating meat and by drinking wine.
Right.
Until you fall asleep.
Right. Yeah. That's true, that's correct.
You mentioned that it has to be done in the Suda.
Good. So one uniqueness to the Rambam is that it was in the Suda. And the other chiddush of the Rambam is that he moves away from the literal pshat of the Gemara, right? It's not simply drinking until Adelo Yada. He says you drink until you're tipsy and then you fall asleep. And then when you're sleeping, what's his lashon? When you're sleeping, Yerdim b'shikros. Right? You'll be sleeping. That's apparently.
Assuming that's what he says?
No, that's what he says. That's what he says. The shosa yain at shishtaka v'yirdim b'shikras.
Right.
Did I say something?
The fact that it's not until you get really drunk.
It's not. No, that this is a lesser level of drinking.
How do we know that?
A lower threshold of drinking.
Just drink wine until you get drunk.
At shishtaka v'yirdim b'shikras. You fall asleep, but not. He doesn't require that you be in a state where you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. So you fall, you go to sleep.
It's even higher. That you fall asleep from it.
But that's pass less. Out. You think it means like drink to the point where you pass out? Yeah. I don't think it means pass out to the point where you're totally gone.
You fall asleep with drunkenness.
From being sleepy, I think he means, not from being hungover and totally out of it. See, the Aruch HaShulchan understands it that way also. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the Rambam, in looking at this Gemara, understood, like the Ran, that the story of Rava and Rav Zeira came to reject the rule of Rava. Okay? He says it came to reject the rule of Rava, but he has a problem. This is the Aruch HaShulchan in Tuf Resh Tzadi Seif Beis. He quotes the Gemara, and he quotes the Rambam, and he says, V'ulai haya mafarish adalo yada v'chulei m'nei shenirdam. Maybe Adalo Yada means because he'll be sleeping and you won't be cognizant of the difference between Haman and Mordechai. And he quotes the Ramaz Lashon. Okay, Ein Tzarech L'Shtaker Kol Kach El Yishta Yosem Milimudo. Drink a little bit more than you used to. V'yeshen, and you'll sleep. U'mitoch she'yeshen, Eini Yodea. Bein Or Haman Baruch Mordechai. Now, while you're sleeping, you'll know the difference. So Chaim was upset by that. He said, "What kind of business is that? What does that mean?" And the Rosh Hashulchan asked the same question. He said, whew. "He says it's not move on. Ain't no move on. Lefiza, lam hayalashas lomar b'loshon mishuna. What does the lashon of the Gemara say? What's the lashon of the Gemara? Adal yada. Right? If the Gemara meant that what that you should drink till you fall asleep, what should the Gemara have said? Exactly. He says that. He's like, you should drink at shiurdin." The Chashulchan says the Rambam apparently is not saying this is the pshat. This is not the pshat in Rava's statement. The Rava's statement really was ad lo yado, excessive drinking, until you really didn't know. But what happened? The Maisa of Rabbi of Zera came along and was Docha, the rule of Rava.
So where does the Rambam get his explanation?
Good. So then we're still left with the problem. Where did he come up with this pshat? Right? Still left with the idea, where did he get the pshat?
So yeah, just be a lesser level.
Good. So what we tried to say yesterday was that the Rambam was still left with an understanding that the Maisa of Rabbi and Ramzir didn't entirely push off the whole concept of drinking. It just pushed off that shear of drinking. It had to be less than Adal Yada. That's too much. Is there still a chiv of drinking that's unique to Purim? Yes. How much? And this was the shear that he gave. Now, why that shear? That's hard to know, how he came up with that idea, specifically of Achi Yerdin. But you see that the Rama also had that.
Could it be that that
maybe the Rama understood we're going to go to a smaller shear? We know there needs to be some inebriation. What's the smallest amount of inebriation? When a person begins to feel the effects, when he begins to feel tired from it and sleepy from it, and then he'll lay down and he'll sleep it off. That's the earliest point of inebriation that we could acknowledge. He doesn't make that same comment that the Rama makes. The Rama says, takes a step further, and he says, and when you're sleeping, you don't know. You're in a state where you don't know.
The Rama thinks that you are...
Yeah, because the Torah and Shulchan Aruch don't learn like the Rambam. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch are saying Chayv Inish L'Bsumei Ad Lo Yada. The way the Aruch HaShulchan understands that means no, you really have to drink until you don't know. It's a bigger Shia. So when the Rama comes and sort of qualifies that, he's working within that understanding.
So
it's a Kiyum in Ad Lo Yada specifically.
Everyone holds that Ad Lo Yada is still in place. They just define it differently, except the Rambam, who seems to think that the halacha or that the...
No, even, I would say, all the Rishon that we've seen, maybe save for Rashi, we don't know how Rashi would treat the statement of Rabbi Mazir, but Rashi teaches Libsume as Lishtaker, to get drunk. All the other Rishonim seem to be incorporating some other element here. So what we explained yesterday for the Rambam was that the Rambam is learning that there's a chiyuv of simcha on Purim, just like you have a chiyuv of simcha on Yantif. But here, the simcha that's required is a certain type of simcha. It's a simcha within the context of the Suda. And the Suda has to have this characteristic of drunkenness, right? Of libsume. Now, what we started with was the premise that there's two ways to view the simcha. We started with this yesterday. There's two ways to view the simcha. Either the simcha is a key in and of itself, or the simcha is a way to get to something else. If you remember when we saw the Yad Ephraim and we saw the Taz, they made it quite clear.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is the chiyuv of simcha on Purim, like on Yontif, for example, on Yontif, the chiyuv of simcha is to get to a state where a person could be b'simcha l'fnei Hashem, to be able to appreciate what he has and to give shevach to Hashem. Is that the same on Purim? That a person is supposed to be in simcha so that he could be in a higher state of recognition of the miracle and therefore give shevach? Or is it maybe not? Maybe it's just the whole point is to be b'simcha. Simcha for simcha's sake. Unique to Purim. So there's clearly difference in the drinking on Purim than there is on Yontif. On Yontif, you don't find any discussion of be drunk. It's drink. You have a revius, whatever, smallest shear, right? Smallest shear is a revius. Have a revius of wine. Now you drank wine. you drank wine, you had a kazayis of basar. These are things that make a person happy. So now you're in a state of happiness. You can enjoy the yontif. You can give shevach to Hashem. You can appreciate. You can be misameach of Hashem. That's the whole idea of the simcha on the regel, to be misameach of Hashem. That's why you can't have avails on the regel, right? Because they're in opposite. But on Purim, there seems to be an added element here, a different element of simcha, perhaps. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that Purim is set aside in the Megillah itself. That Purim is Yimei Mishta v'Simcha. What's Yimei Mishta? What's Yimei Mishta? Just call it Yimei Simcha. What does Yimei Mishta mean? So good. So that's one possibility. One possibility is that Yimei Mishta v'Simcha means that, like the Rambam is saying, that you have to have a certain type of suda, and the suda has to be one that's marked by this special kind of drinking, so you could be able to give shevach, right? Be able to appreciate the nes. That's why if you drink too much, you're going to miss the whole boat. You drink so much, like Rava's statement, you're going to miss out on the whole purpose of the drinking. If I tell you that you have to drink to appreciate the nes, and now you're drinking so excessively that you're not even cognizant of the difference between Haman and Mordechai, can't be. Can't be, that's what it means. Right? Who's with me here?
No, but I thought we said that, but is that the Rambam's not making pshat in
No, that's
in
why the Rambam, exactly. So that's why the Rambam moved away from it.
So what's the explanation? Rambam has a reason to make that his...
I mean, why? I mean, before Rambam was there, right. What would the Rambam say about Rava? So, what would you say about that? It sounds like the Rambam really understood, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it sounds like the Rambam really understood Rava as being literal.
Right.
Yeah, but he couldn't tolerate that. He said that the Rambam of Zera clearly is rejecting that. So, you want to explain Rava? Why would Rava require that? What would you guys say about that?
Well, is there a reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be means to like understanding or seeing the base at a different level or whatever. If you're totally drunk, that you can't see the difference between
right.
Like that totally kills it. So
right,
maybe
but you could be with simcha like that. You could be very happy, right? Right. So what I think Yoni's saying is that there are two ways to view the component of simcha here on Purim. Is if it's the same as we have on Yontif, that it's supposed to be a key and belave in order to get a person to be able to appreciate the chag or the Yontif or the nes, then it has to be somewhat limited, right? But if it's an end in and of itself, just to be simcha, then we can understand that there's an idea of drinking without a qualification. This is besimcha, right? When am I besimcha? I'm besimcha when I'm in that state. So even the, it's funny, yesterday we had this question on the Rabbeinu Ephraim. What does the Rabbeinu Ephraim hold? Does he hold that the whole member was pushed off or not? Right? Rabbeinu Ephraim comes along, the Ron quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim saying that this, it's a Maisa Listor, that the story of Rabbi Ram Zera, if you look again at the Ron, so the Ron quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. He says, "Me'ahu uvda." The second line in the run, "Me'ahu uvda," to come Rabba besudas Purim, v'shachte l'Reb Zera. From that story in the Talmud, that story of Rabba and Reb Zera having their suda together, Rabbi Ephraim says, "What do we learn from that?" Kidi'ita b'gemara idchile. Remember the Rava. The statement of Rava, the rule of Rava, is rejected. V'lo shapir dami l'mevet hachi, and it's not proper to do this. Now the question is, what does he mean? Is it not proper to get drunk at all? Or is it not proper to drink to that extent? So the Bach over here says, an explanation of this, Rabbeinu Ephraim, he specifically says, when he quotes the Shita, Rabbeinu Ephraim, in Tuf Reish Tzadi He. Tuf Reish Tzadi He. Mihu dafka lebsume adelo yada. Who did dachin on law? That's what Rabbeinu Ephraim was pushing off. That extent of drinking. Aval mihud sarach lishtos harbe milimudo. You still have to drink a lot more than you used to. Why? Sheyetev libo b'mishta. Sheyetev libo b'mishta. So that he'll be b'simcha in the context of mishta. V'hei shasui. O afilu shikr. Somewhat inebriated and maybe even drunk. Sheyne yachal adab l'fnei
amalek. Can't mishta refer to
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily drinking.
He says, "Libo b'mishta v'hei shasui, rak shehei daito alav." But he still has to have his wits about him. So he's saying, Rabbeinu Ephraim is not rejecting the whole rule. Rabbeinu Ephraim is just limiting it. Why? Because what is Rabbeinu Ephraim? How does Rabbeinu Ephraim view it? How Rabbeinu Ephraim view it? As a way of being, as a means to be b'simcha. Right? As a means of being b'simcha. All right. I don't know if we've exhausted this or not, but let me add one more thing to the mix over here. Okay? Again, we're trying to underscore is that there are really two different ways to view this idea of the interplay between the wine and simcha. Is the drinking of the wine simply to get the simcha and that's it? Right? Or is the drinking the wine to get the simcha so that I could do something else? If it's so that I could do something else, is that less drinking or more drinking? Less drinking. But if I say that it's a keem in and of itself, just to be a state of shasui, because that's simcha, then I can understand that there's a much higher level of drinking that might be involved. Because up until then, I'm not fully besimcha, for whatever reason. I still have all my faculties. I'm not fully besimcha. So listen to this. This is written by a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. An interesting idea that he says. Yeah, so then he quotes a different pshat. Okay, and I think this is really what we were suggesting for the Rishonim. Listen to this idea. I think it's a very nice idea. He wants to say, at least for some Rishonim, that there's a difference between the Simcha of Purim and the Simcha of the other Moadim. You don't find on any of the regalim that a person has to drink to this point where he's adela yada. Why? Because on all of the moados, the ikar mitzvah simcha is eino el l'smoch b'Hashem. On all the other yom tovim, the reason why you drink is that you could be in a state to enjoy the yantif, to be misameach lefnei Hashem. U'basavayayin eino el l'sibo l'or ha-simcha, and the wine and the meat are just vehicles to put you in that state, right? And like he quotes the Rambam Hilchos Yomtiv, and then he quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says, "Zeha Yom Hashas Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismacha Bo, Eni Yodei Im Bo Bayom U Bo BaKadosh Baruch Hu Tamid Lomar Nagila V'Nismacha Bach." Aval Purim Kevan Dechsev Mishta V'Simcha. Since this is the Brisker Rav now, since it says Mishta V'Simcha, what does that mean? Nimtza Shah Mishta Atzma Hihi Guf HaMitzvah. It's Simcha for Simcha's sake. This is the Griz, that on Purim, the Tzura of the Simcha is a different Tzura. It's Simcha for Simcha's sake. It's not Simcha so that I could get to be Mesameach Lefnei Hashem. It's a big Chiddush. It's definitely a big Chiddush. B'li tachlisam shel Simcha, v'al yisod zeh shel mitzvos, mishta tiknu din zeh shechilu b'sumei adal yada. And that's why on Purim you have this unique din of adal yada, which you don't have on any other yontif. Right? So this fits, I think, this fits more squarely with those we've shown him. Let's say, you drink Adlo Yada. But if you learn that you're drinking not Adlo Yada, if you're drinking that Adlo Yada was somehow lessened, it's hard to say this, right? It seems more that it's the other type of simcha. It is the same simcha as the simcha of Yom Tif, right? Like we saw yesterday from the Taz and the Yad Ephraim, they specifically said that if you drink to that extent, you'd be black. You wouldn't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Purim. Because the whole point of simcha and Purim, it doesn't make the comparison to Yantif, but it's the same idea. The whole point of being b'simcha and Purim is so that a person could appreciate the nes and give a shavach for it. So if you drink to the point where you're totally unaware of it, how could you give shavach something you're not aware of? But if you learn that it's a din and simcha for simcha's sake, yeah, then it makes sense. So anyway, that's what I think the major issue is over here. I can't explain further the Rambam. I mean, where the Rambam came up with that idea of sleeping and being unaware.
I'm saying he just created the definition.
Yeah, according to Aruch HaShulchan, that's his chiddush. He said that he's not saying that's what Rava meant. He's saying this is a new qualification.
Right. I'm just saying he just learns that.
Yeah.
I mean, he says the right to do that. I'm just saying.
But I think Mr. Brody's point is a good one, that what the Rambam was looking for was the smallest shear of drinking that we could observe, that we could qualify. How are we going to say, like Avi asked me before, Rashi says lishtaker, you have to be drunk. How are you going to tell the guy when is he drunk? Lishtaker b'yayin. No, but the different things, a person could be at different stages in drunkenness. How are you going to know when you're drunk? So the Rambam says, at this stage of inebriation, that's when you fulfill the mitzvah of drinking on Purim. When you fall asleep from drinking. Right? He doesn't make the same statement as the Ramah. The Ramah is based on the Kolbo. The Ramah says that you drink to the point where you can't distinguish. The Ramah doesn't include that. He just says you drink to the point where you fall asleep from your drinking.
But that also is not so clear.
Which? The Ramah? See, I think the Ramah was more difficult.
Okay, but I'm saying even based off the Rambam's definition, I still don't know what exactly that is. Like, I could probably go to sleep without drinking at all.
No, but here...
Or I can drink a cup of wine and go to sleep, or I can drink 10 cups of wine and go to sleep. It's still not...
So. You're right. You don't have to drink 10 cups, according to the Rambam. If a person drinks a cup or and feels that he has some type of...
So just if you yawn after having some wine,
If you feel the effect of the wine, then you go to sleep. That's a kiyum, according to the Rambam. That's right.
Is he saying you're supposed to go to sleep? Or
yeah. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. No, that's what it sounds like you should do.
So
you
should finish your suit and
lie down. And lie, yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, you have to bench first. Yeah, you have to bench first. That's another thing that the post can point out here, by the way. Another thing that the post can point out. You can't be drinking to this state where you can't say brachas. You still have to bench. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa. No, not according to the Rambam, because you're not drinking that much that it's going to prevent you from benching. You know, a lot of shuls, that's why on Simchas Torah, they make Birkas Kohanim earlier. Why? Because they know people are going to drink after. Over there, the threshold for drinking is a lot less. Right? For Birkas Kohanim, it's less than it would be for other things. So even, right, we're concerned about that. We make the Birkas Kohanim earlier to make sure that no one's duchening shasui.
Well, unless you make your shooting go, you can make your shooting go as long as you want, correct?
Yeah, but benching has to be done in a certain amount of time from when you ate. Benching you can only do for 72 minutes. Right? It's a sheer equal. Right? What's that?
Unless you, like, continually eat.
Yeah, I was saying from the time you stop eating. So if you nap for a half hour and then you bench, you could still do that. You could still get it in. Yeah. And davening also, you have to worry about. Yeah. Right, it's funny because only the Rambam holds it, it's a chiyuv in the Suda. No one else specifically says it's a chiyuv in the Suda. So even the Ramah, who's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, who puts it in the context of the Suda, also he's not giving it such a high level of shusiyah. They're learning simple pshat, yeah, drink a lot, but the Ramah comes along and says, fall asleep and then you don't know. That's a kiyum in Adol Yad. That's the way you fulfill Adol Yad.
So that's you drink by beer so you don't make your.
What's that?
So let's eat drinks.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's good, you're right. It's a good question. You're going to run into problems. You're definitely going to run into...
I'm wondering, like, what...
How would they answer that?
Yeah, or you just putter it.
See, it's hard to say you putter because you can't knowingly put yourself in a situation where you're going to... Right. Could be. In that case, maybe that's the way they learn. That since the chiyuv at the outset is to drink to that extent, then... I mean, there's nothing you can do.
I don't know. It's just like a steam.
Yeah.
So they all...
Good question. Yeah, I'm listening.
They all hold you should drink.